Hello, and welcome to the iDEMS podcast. I'm Lily Clements, a data scientist, and I'm here today with Roger Stern. How do I define you, Roger? A climatic...
An applied statistician who now calls himself a data scientist, because that doesn't have such a bad... That's not so unpopular.
Who was meant to retire many years ago, or who has, in theory, retired.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And today I thought we'll continue on this 20 years of RMS series that we've been doing, which is the research method support work in West Africa, which we've been involved in for, well, how long have you been involved in that, Roger?
In West Africa, it depends how far you want to go back, but I first worked in West Africa as a statistician in 1975, so over 50 years.
More than that 20 years ago of RMS support.
More than the RMS support of 20 years ago, and in particular, the time in Niger when I worked full-time supporting the research work was in the 1990s, so considerably before the 20 years started.
Yes, very good.
And what's been slightly disappointing is how little has changed.
I see.
But maybe that doesn't come in the podcast.
No, that can come in. But no, very interesting. Well, but also, I know that there's a lot of changes you implemented, even in the UK, like at Reading University. And then by the time I studied at Reading University, a lot of those kind of statistical or data science ideas have not reached the statistics department, or at least have then left the statistics department where I studied.
Yes.
Anyway, I thought today on RMS we could discuss the problem of zeros.
Yes. I've always done the problem of zeros with sort of artificially small examples, and I think it's nice to get there. But I did have a large example, or a proper example, on one occasion, which was just the calculation of the yield per plant, and each plot had 100 plants. The variable we were measuring was at the plot level, and we wanted to have the average yield per plant. And some of the plants had died, so they didn't have a yield. And so what's the average yield per plant when, let's say, out of 100 plants, let's be simple, a quarter of them have died. So a quarter of them give a zero yield because the plant is dead. You've got the total yield of the whole plot, which is from 100 plants. Should you divide by 100 to give the yield per plant, or should you divide by 75 to give the yield per plant which isn't dead? And that is a real problem which puzzled the scientists, because they wanted to have the average yield as the variable, and they were very confused by having dead plants there.
Interesting. And so then what, I guess in that example, what killed the plant? Would that be what comes into how you average it? Because in my mind, if you've plotted them all, if you put that effort into them all, then you divide by 100.
Yes. Well, I think there's a good case for dividing by 100. And if you think of the total yield as being the plot yield, then effectively that's what you're doing. And so there's a good case for dividing by 100. There's also a good case for, just as you're saying, what killed them. Whenever you get your data, I tend to find if we go back a step, then we've had objectives when we designed our study. And now you have the data, and we're arguing that whenever you get the data and you're going to start the analysis, it's a good step to think two things. Can you satisfy all the objectives you had? Is one aspect. Are there some you can't satisfy? For example, if you were doing a study on disease, and in that particular year there was no disease, then you can't satisfy the requirements in that study for disease. So this case gives you another possibility. Can you turn disadvantage round? So if you think that having plants that die is a disadvantage, then are there objectives that have come which now weren't there at the beginning, but you can take advantage of? And asking why they died and what you could do about it is providing you potentially with another valuable objective. And so in that case, you may not wish to hide the value just by dividing by 100. You can do that, but you may also want to record the fact that a quarter of the plants died. And you may then wish to look and see, let's call them 25 plants. Could you then make sure you at least record the number of dead plants in each plot, which is very easy to do? And then maybe you find that in some varieties, the number that died was much less, and that could be rather interesting. And if it was a disease, you might be learning, therefore, about which varieties seem to protect against the disease and which don't, and so on. So rather than feeling you've got a fixed way of doing things, could you get two numbers out of it, or even three? Divide by 100, divide by 75, and also record that 25 out of the 100 died, and maybe question what you can do with the 25.
Yes, I see. So, of those 25 that died, is there kind of a similarity between them?
That's right. Now, the example that I often give in teaching, again, is the fact that everybody's been taught all these simple things like means, and they think they are very simple, and indeed they are, but it's always to say the mean of what? Just as I find percentages, you always want to say, what is 100%? So in the mean, you want to say, it's the mean of what? And so an example that I give often is an example of, let's say, six farmers, and I think you have some data there of the number of animals that they had. So we're measuring the number of livestock for these six farmers. And I think you had a sample of numbers there that we sometimes have used. Do you have that, Lily?
So a sample of numbers which you gave to me anyway was 0, 10, 0, 15, 0, 20. So one farmer has no animals, one farmer has 10 animals, another farmer has no animals, another farmer has 15, another farmer has 0, and another farmer has 20.
So if we take the average of all those, we find 20 plus 15 plus 10 is 45. Is that correct? And there are six farmers. So the average number of animals per farm is 7.5. There's a correct answer. And that's how you calculate the mean using the formula. You add them all up and you divide by n. Are there circumstances when you would prefer to say, three out of the six farmers didn't have any animals, and you might then discuss why it is that some farmers have animals and some don't. And then you want to know the average number of animals per farmer that had animals, and that would be 15. So there isn't a right and wrong here, but what we find is that many students just starting their proper work on analysis, all they know is the formula, and so they've never met this problem, and they've never met the idea that actually the formulae are quite simple, but applying the formulae, especially with complications like missing values and zeros, might benefit from considerable thought.
No, that is interesting because I suppose it's okay. Why do they have zero animals? And is that because they instead they don't focus on animals, they focus on another area of agriculture? I'm not sure too much on the agriculture side of things, but then I assume it comes back again to your objectives.
Back to the objectives, but sticking just with the summaries, of course, the next part of the summary is that often we need to calculate a measure of spread. And now I feel that people are missing a trick with measures of spread. So I would argue that a good analysis explains spread. And so it's the unexplained spread or the unexplained variability that is annoying. And if that's too high, you can't see the messages in the data. So again, now, if you have your six farmers and you measure the spread, let's say the standard deviation of those data, then you get rather a large standard deviation. But you already know one reason for getting such a large standard deviation, and that is that some farmers don't have animals and other farmers do. And so when you're looking at unexplained standard deviation, it does seem it becomes even more obvious to at least consider splitting up the data and doing separate things with the zeros than the non-zeros. So it's not just for the mean, it's also for spread. And as I say, to me, a good analysis, I like a lot of spread in my data because then I've got something to explain. I'd like to have measured things which explain variability, and having zeros in the data is part of the things that need explaining.
Yes, because if everyone had the same number of animals, there's not much fun you can do with that data.
And you and I are out of a job.
Yes.
If everybody was the same height and so on, fortunately, that isn't the case, and so on. So we still have a job potentially, Lily, but let's help people to explain variability. And if you like, taking account of zeros is obviously an interesting aspect of variability of the data.
Nice. And so you're kind of saying, in a way, in some situations when you have zeros in your data, it might make sense there to have separated out and look at it with two distributions or two different, to look at your zeros separately to looking at your non-zeros.
And I think I'm saying there's a few situations when you don't want to do that. You want to think of your data altogether. An example would be if you're recording in an accident-prone place the number of accidents per day, and then you have a few zeros in your data on those days when there wasn't a single accident. That's part of the natural data. And there isn't a special reason for having those zeros. That was just a day with no accidents. Most of the time, zeros benefit from being treated specially. And let's not forget that. And we're often missing important aspects to be discovered about the data if we don't at least think about the problem of zeros.
Nice, very nice. Yes, and definitely, well, in my experience, not something that I was taught, as you say, in any formal statistics training that I had for university level.
And this is still concerning. And when I say things haven't changed enough, remarkably little has changed in terms of what's taught in statistics when you very recently were being taught and I was taught many, many years ago. I was taught before box plots were even invented. So a few things have changed. But in terms of the common sense, I still find that so many people, when they start statistics, they are surprised with real data because all they've been taught is examples of data that are to illustrate particular points, like calculating a mean. And they're not taught anything more complicated. And so they get so many shocks when they have real data to contend with, which is what these podcasts are all about.
Nice. And that's probably a perfect place to end this podcast today. Thank you very much.
Okay. And I'm afraid we've gone over 11.
Yeah, sorry about that. Well, thank you very much, Roger.
Thank you.